Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, hair talent shining this morning, Don Ramos.
Good morning.
We're so glad to have you today in the extra hour. We had a wonderful, wonderful first hour. I want to give a shout out to all of our listeners. I want to encourage you, if you're the workplace, to pull your chair up, put a little tap-tap on the keyboard, swing the hammer, drive the car, crank up VFN Radio. We are going to encourage you, and you're going to walk away informed, empowered, and encouraged. Morning. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos. Hola. Hola.
Hola.
He was dancing. You missed it. He was actually dancing around, and he totally missed the opportunity to say hello to you this morning. Now he did. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
That was hello, a good dance. I was la cucaracha, la cucaracha.
Oh, you know that, huh?
Yeah. It means a cockroach, right?
Yeah.
The cockroach.
Cucaracha.
Oh, cucaracha. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey. Hey, my goodness. Speaking of those.
Yes.
Really? We had a wonderful, it was the first hour, and we got a chance to mention the exciting, wonderful announcement.
Yes,
that we were looking for a name for the VFN TV blog, because it is not a blog. It is so much more. It is a light. It is in a continued conversation with our listeners. It's a way to get the facts on what we're talking about. It's a way for you to do a research. It's a way for you to share it with your friends. It is so much more than a blog. Guess what? The name has come in. Thank you for all those that participated in coming up with the name. It is here. You ready? This is the name. This is the name. This is totally going to replace the VFN TV blog. Thank you, Lord. And here comes the name. Here it goes. Lean forward. Here it comes. The VFN Torch. Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's awesome. So beautiful, because that's like Gideon's army. Yeah. You know, Gideon had, torches and swords and, you know, and they weren't going to use them in the context of the beginning of that. They were just going to shine them. And when the big bright light came, it just confused the enemy and God. Mm-hmm. They brought the light and God's plan on that situation. The enemy turned on themselves. The torch, the VFN awesome. Torch. I am very excited about it. So you can find out. You got to take a look at it, because whoever designed this, whoever the person was that put all the skill and the talent and the energy and the creativity, I mean, it has to be something that God has given them to be able to do this, because you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm
saying. Listen, I've looked at it. It looks good.
Isn't it?
It's sharp, crisp. It's good.
Oh my goodness! And so, you know, everything we've been talking about, with over 10,000 viewers and listeners to the VFN TV and Data Radio program, you can participate and join in at the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. You got to see it. Well, speaking of that, now tell us about what is the situation with Dickie? What's happened?
R.A. Dickie.
With R.A. Dickie. Tell us what's
R.A. Dickie. Well, he is the pitcher for the New York Mets, who is having an unbelievable season. Actually, it's believable, because he just made it. I think this is like his second consistent year in the majors. It's been a long, long journey for him.
By the way, his testimony is on the VFN Torch. You got to see it.
Yes, it is.
If you go to the VFN Torch and type in R.A. Dickie, you can actually hear firsthand him share his testimony, because how he got to where he is right now is a miracle. It's a miracle.
It is. He found God at a young age and kept the Lord at the center of his life, and he's having a phenomenal year. He's now just won his 13th game of the season. He's leading the major leagues with most wins. And so he's getting all of this attention right now. He's just finished the All-Star game, selected first time. This is the best of the best that are selected to play on a national level. And he was just selected to participate in pitch and play in that game. Well, he's getting, you know, calls for interviews. And I just read a recent article, and it was entitled Worship on the Mound. You get that?
Worship on the Mound. Is that beautiful? Yes. Think about all. Think about That's you cool. got Jeremy Lin.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
You have
Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow. And you have
Drew Brees.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they're just taking a stand for God. He's literally taking a stand for God on the mound.
On the mound.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, you know, his story is he got to the major leagues and to this level really on a second chance. It was God's providence. He learned and turned to, after his arm kind of just blowing out, to an unconventional pitch called the knuckleball. And he's actually the only major league. Yeah, he's throwing a pitch called the knuckleball.
What does that mean? I mean, knuckle. Well, what is that? Like he throws knuckles?
I'm about to tell you. Oh, no, but actually you don't use your knuckles to throw the ball. You actually use your nails and a special grip, but he's the only one in the majors presently right now who's pitching his pitch. And what happens with his pitch is that most pitchers, you throw a, you know, fastball, a slider, a curveball, and the ball is designed to do all sorts of, you know, things and go at a specific curve or slide. Well, with the knuckleball, it does not rotate at all. It just kind of floats out there. And it does whatever it wants to do. It's erratic, it's chaos, and you really can't control it.
I mean, he doesn't even know what's going to happen?
Not really. He can actually point it to a certain direction. He can control it a little bit of where, you know, it can fall into a strike zone area, but where it's going to break and how it's going to turn. If you ever saw those old Bugs Bunny commercials where the guy's trying to swing the baseball and he swings three times before the ball actually gets there.
Not only seen the commercial.
That. I've done that.
But this is exactly
my worst case, though, was the golf club. We won't talk about that.
Goodness. No, we won't talk about that. But this is exactly what happens. In fact, the batters oftentimes smirk and they laugh and look back. I'm like, what in the world was that, you know? And so when he was asked and interviewed, and this was really neat because he says in this article that oftentimes he talks about the Lord and he gives God glory for what's happening in his career, but oftentimes the media cuts out that portion of his interview.
Isn't that amazing? And, you know what? We exist for that portion that's cut out. You know, yeah. Tell you what the news is, but we're going to tell you the God perspective, you know, what God's word would be, and talk about, you know, R.A. Dickey's stand for God. That's beautiful.
Right. That's right. And so he says, I shout it from the rooftops. And so the thing with the knuckleball that he learned, it's actually close to how his life has been. He's trying to control his life and trying to control his marriage, trying to control even his walk with God. And he realized that, you know what, I got to get my hands off of my life and surrender my life to Jesus and let Jesus be in control of my life. Just like I released the knuckleball pitch, let it go and let it be free in the hands of God. And so the person that's interviewing him asks him, do you throw angry when you were up on the mound? He says, you know, early in my career, I was taught, you know, just to throw angry, to throw hard and just get the ball there. But he says, that doesn't work for me anymore. He says, now as a pitcher, I want to be in a place of peace. I want to be a place of just releasing the ball. And that's what works. Mm-hmm. And I love this question. Listen to this question.
Who's asking it?
Well, this comes from the World Magazine. And the interviewer asks him, how do you feel serene when it's late, inning? The score is tied, bases are loaded, and the fans are roaring. I mean, if you've been to a baseball game and his base is loaded and you're just like, the game is on the line, this is major tense pressure. The next ball could be a strikeout or the guy can hit it through the roof. Wait, you
know? Hold on a minute. Are you talking about baseball? you're just talking to some football fans here. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
that's intense.
I'm helping you guys out.
But I remember looking as hard as I can at the field, trying to hold my eyelid open. Full of hot dogs, you know, after, that. And, Okay, I'm sure I just probably was not at a Mets game. If I was at a Mets game.
You probably were not an exciting game.
But of course, you know, I am open for invitations. So.
Well, hey, come on. You know, I'll take
it. I want to go with you and Elijah. I want to go with Eddie, too.
I want to go with Eddie.
Eddie's a lot of fun. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a lot of fun.
It actually gave you a shout out last night.
Oh, cool.
Well, so this is intense pressure now. Bases are loaded. That means for, you know, you non-baseball fan right here, you know, pay attention.
I'm a fan now. I'm a fan.
When the bases are loaded, the next hit or walk or whatever happens scores another run. So he says, what do you do when you're under this pressure? And he says, well, I do on the field as an act of worship. God has given me the gifts to do what I do. And when I use them fully, I glorify him. In those moments when it might seem most intense in my mind, I start singing a song. So the interviewer asks him a follow-up question. What song? He says, well, my God is an awesome God, or any song that I recall in the moment. It's in my mind. I'm not necessarily mouthing the words out there, but in my mind, it always helps me to breathe and to feel the moment. And I thought, wow, all right, Dickie, that is so awesome, because, you know, when you get raised to prominence and you're doing well and you're succeeding and he's winning on the baseball field, he knows who he's doing it for. It's not for his glory or for his fame, but it's rather for the fame and for the glory and the worship of God. And that's what I'm appreciating about these athletes that we just mentioned here recently, that it's not about, you know, fame. It's not about self, but it's about, wow, God's given me this platform and God's given me this opportunity so that I can boldly share and proclaim and point to him who's the author of every perfect and pleasant thing in my life. And it just encourages me, and I'm sure it encourages our radio listeners, that give glory to God. Give glory to God. If you're in a situation, if you're at a job, if whatever place you find yourself, do it with excellence and know that every time that you're getting an attention, you can always glorify the Lord. It speaks to his majesty and his goodness. And I'm just excited about all of that. I mean, I think it's just absolutely
great.
That is so cool.
I think about Ephesians chapter 6, you know, when he says, I think it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. He says, serve wholeheartedly at the workplace, whatever your job is. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord.
That's right.
So he's biblically correct. He's moving in the context of the creator of the universe as expectation of him, that he wants R.A. Dickey to pitch that ball like he's pitching it for Jesus.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now the question is he trying to strike Jesus out? But he says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. That's the kicker. You know, when you realize that you're at your job, and I got news for you. You know, if you don't start liking your job, it will stop liking you.
Yeah, well,
and you need to begin to celebrate it, pray for your boss and your supervisors, be an added, you know,
add value to
your workplace. When you show up, they're thankful. When you leave, they're not. They want you to hang around. You know, be the first to show up. Don't ever get caught up in the fact that people say just because you're being nice to someone that you're kissing up to them. No, you're just being wise in regards to you want to serve those people who are paying you a paycheck. And when they give you a paycheck, check this out. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm.
Thank you. And even share with them, you know, because of this job that my wife and my family or my husband or my children, we're able to have, you know, food and have a house that we're staying in. I'm just so grateful for us having this relationship. I want to be a good employee for you. I want to be able to bring value to your company. You know, I've studied the vision. I understand where you're going with this company, and I agree with it. And I just want to add, I want you to help you meet your dreams and your vision for this company.
Right.
And believe me, they're going to woo. I mean it, by the way.
Mm. Right.
And you'll find out that's you're the person that they want to be able to keep when things get tough. And they're going to really start doing some significant adjusting, and they already are now, but we haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, but I want to encourage you too that even if they don't recognize it, because they may not, the great motivation that we all have as believers is that we're doing it for the audience of one. You know, you're doing it for God. God's watching,
right.
And God's getting glory, and it's not wasted. And that's so cool. You know, that's the amazing thing there.
That's true, because he's talking in Ephesians 6 about slaves and masters. You know, so whatever your pay scale is, it's higher, if it's in America, it's higher than a slave wage, you know. And but he says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward you, just like John said. He'll reward everyone for whatever he does, whether he's the employee or the boss, whether he's a slave or whether he's free. It doesn't matter. I mean, God can bless you in so many different ways.
That's right.
You know, and it looked like it was over. You got to catch that on the torch. You got to go to the torch. Go to VFNTV.com and hear R.A. Dickey's story, because it looked like it was totally over. I mean, they looked at his body, and his body did not have the right dimensions. One arm's hanging lower than the other. I'm thinking like, oh, that means we can be used, right?
All right. It's over.
And think about this. He's at an age where, you know, most ball players are retiring. They're getting too old, and where most conventional pitchers would have definitely wore out his arm. But God gives him the ability and the gifting to throw this pitch that has zero wear on his arm and would extend his career, you know, another 10 years or so. It's like, wow, God, how awesome is that?
Amazing. We're going to be right back in just a moment. But listen, we want to talk to you about your rights. We want you to know your constitutional rights. Right now, what we're going to talk about after this message, you know, you're going to be totally probably surprised, because everything you're hearing about the Constitution, things you're hearing about the Second Amendment, they're just not telling you this. And it's not wrong to go by the Bible. It's not wrong to read the Word of God. And a lot of the church has said today, you know, oh, don't go by the text. You know, this doesn't mean that anymore. And guess what? Now God's having our leaders tell us, oh, don't go by the text of the Constitution. You know, we're going to be talking about that, because if we ignore God's instructions and his constitution, do you really, if we deny his sovereignty, which what's happening in America, that he is God above him, there's none other, and our rights come from him, do you really think he's going to let America keep our sovereignty? See, the enemy does this by telling you that you don't have rights, and you have rights, constitutional rights, and we'll share that. The Second Amendment, we'll be talking about in just a moment. I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know, Tom Landry, he was a coach for Dallas.
Right, the Cowboys.
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl. And so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team, because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know, it doesn't say, oh, this is so great, I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ, that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But your spirit, man, is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, mm-hmm. And begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place, all that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved, just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, people are just so, we get, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. You love those, like, 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about, you know, a lot of the generations listening. But listen, I, you know, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up. You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe. And you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that? You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things that are going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It just text VFN TV to the number 22828. That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studios in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're just talking about R.A. Dickey. If you missed what we talked about, you got to catch it in the extra hour in the highlights or on The Torch, which is now has replaced the VFN TV blog. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. You know, we're called to be the light of the world, to bring light to these situations that are taking place, and we really believe that we are part of that. God has called us to be a part and called you to be a part. And we want to be able to help you as well. Well, we're going to talk about at this moment a very important part of our Constitution under original intent. We're going to be talking about the Second Amendment. You know, we talked about the Fourth Amendment the other day. We've talked about the First Amendment. And then we're going to talk about the Second Amendment. The Constitution, as you can hear earlier in the first part of our extra hour, is what we're made of. Maybe the first hour, I don't know.
First hour.
Right. That's what we're made of, and you have to understand that. Hopefully that'll be together in the highlights, those two pieces could be there. But we have right now, let me just give you a brief little overview. Let's read, I don't want to assume that you know what it is, you know, and I want to make sure I know what it is. So I'm going to read it off of the torch, the VFN torch. I'm going to read it right here. The particular posting is a Second Amendment, militia and right to keep and bear arms. That's the name of it. So it has the Second Amendment there. Good job. It reads, this is written in our Constitution that holds us all together now. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with catching or shooting dinner, right. Hunting rabbits.
Right.
You silly rascal, you. A well and regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Mm. I mean, hello, a militia. Think about it. Mm. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of freedom. So freedom comes when a people have the right to bear, keep and bear arms.
That's right.
I mean, there's nothing like that. That freedom comes because you can't have freedom. If, in fact, you know, if there was no guns, then people would be taking your freedom from you.
That's right.
And he says, it just says this, a well-regulated militia being necessary. This is the Second Amendment. This is what the Constitution that our forefathers who our founding fathers had laid out for us, because they came from a tyrannical rule. They came from a place that the guillotine could take your head off for not, you know, doing what they were saying. Or they came from a place that said, you know, that the king or the queen is over the church and this is how you'll do it. They came from a place that would put you in shackles and chains and stretch you or chain you and throw you in the water to see if you floated, to see if you were you know, innocent or not, you know, crazy stuff.
You would think they learned something, huh?
Yeah, and they did. But the thing is, we forgot what they've learned. But they wrote it down in a document called the Constitution. And the Second Amendment, they said, we don't ever want that to ever happen again. We don't ever want the government to come and take our, we want, it's a government by the people and for the people. The government doesn't have a rule over us. We have rule over the government. This is totally new for you. If you have been hearing what you believe what's being said, and it's a government by and for the people. And we're the ones that send a representative government there. We're a republic. We're not a democracy. And, so with that, you know, obviously then if the people are the ones that are the leaders in America and they send representative government to Washington, D.C., the leaders are going to need to be able to be armed to be able to maintain this freedom continues.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Government is not. Read the Constitution, United States Constitution. You know, it lets you know that you are the one that is the leader here. And by doing that, the problem with representative government is nothing. No, the problem with representative government is you got to get involved. You've got to find out who's running for office. You got to ask them what they stand for. You got to make sure that they're in agreement with the Constitution, because they're supposed to swear. They got to swear for the president, the Congress, the Senate, the judiciary branch, your governors, your police officers, your military. They have to swear that they will protect and defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. They're supposed to protect and defend our Second Amendment rights. They're supposed to protect that. We're not supposed to go like, oh my goodness, our government's going to try to take it. We sent you there to protect the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to bring your agenda on top of our Constitution and try to snuff it out.
Right.
That's your whole purpose. You're violating. You need to be impeached if you're going to violate what you've been sent there to do. You're to protect and defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and in America, domestic. So the question then, first of all, it says a well-regulated militia. What is a militia? A militia is defined, and Wikipedia talks about it. It says, and you can see this on the torch, is the VFN torch. The term militia means irregular army. Just kind of like it's commonly used today to refer to a military force composed of ordinary citizens. Mm. That's you, America. To provide defense, emergency law enforcement, or paramilitary service. In times of emergency, without being paid a regular salary or committed to a fixed term of service. Think about that. A sheriff right now in America, if he feels or she feels that, you know, they need help, they can look at you, point at you, and say, you are hereby deputized. According to the Constitution, they can do that because you can be a part of a well-armed militia to be able to help that sheriff with what's going on in that city. And I totally believe where we're going, the direction we're going, and how this nation's being dismantled, we're going to have to get this. Because the sheriff probably going to turn to you, and they're going to ask you for help.
Wow.
And if you start thinking, well, I'm not the police, and I couldn't do this, and I can't do that, it's like, look at the Constitution. Yes, you can. It's a government by and for the people. To be able to maintain this freedom, you may be called on to be able to protect the citizens from some harm that may be coming to them. And but it talks more about that. You can see more about that. But it basically are armed citizens that help the people in time of need, that protect the people. That's what a militia is. So it's like an organized, unofficial army that kind of gets together and says, you know, you're not going to do that in this city anymore because you're hurting people and you need to leave the city, or that the citizens just that's why you look at older movies, right, and you see this whole crew coming with pitchforks and all that kind of stuff. You think that's crazy. Well, actually, You know, they were coming for a murderer, and he or she had escaped or something, and they're coming after. That's a militia that was coming there to be able to bring that person to justice and bring them into the jail. And right. the citizens would come together because of the Second Amendment right to be able to go down and to be able to not violate the individual's constitutional rights, but to be able to subdue. I remember, you know, when I'd already left law enforcement already, and you can leave law enforcement, but law enforcement doesn't leave you. It took a long time for it to actually leave out of me. And I remember the officers and the community I was in was chasing someone. And I just happened to be riding through a particular part of the community where I saw the suspect slam on brakes in the car and jump out and was running. Mm-hmm. And the police officer hadn't got there yet. Right. It just something kicked in. Not now. I don't want to do that now.
Right.
Now
could
just
you run
up,
now?
Oh, well, hey, I could drive much faster than I can run. And I would just call and say, here he is. Here he is. But, I jumped out of my car because he was right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I detained him waiting for the officers to get there. That's something you can do. You can wow. do that. I mean, they recommend that you don't do it, but we're about to get to a certain point.
This is after you got out.
This is after I got out.
Oh, cool.
And that's where I met Pat. I detained him and long. No, and so, but you know, with that, you know, they say oh, we don't need the help and got that kind of thing. But understand where we're going, what's about to happen in America, that our law enforcement is going to need our help, but we're going to need to understand what our constitutional rights are, what our constitutional responsibilities are, how that we need to honor the laws in the land and operate in the context of them. But we may have to get involved because it reminds me of, you know, during the hurricanes, when the hurricanes came and in the Gulf Coast, and many people were living in small trailers, FEMA trailers, because all the houses were totally flattened out on the Gulf of Mexico. And one night somebody tried breaking into the trailer mm-hmm. that they were in, you know, and as you know, the trailers are very thin. And as soon as they opened that door, the owner fired a shot.
That's right.
And,
I remember that.
And they protected themselves, and they were not charged with any kind of murder because it was a justified killing under the constitutional right that you have a right to bear and to keep arms and a right to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And to take that away, then they would have been robbed that night. And not only that, because of that one incident.
Or hurt.
Yeah, hurt or robbed. That because of that one incident, because everybody becomes vulnerable at that point when there's no power, there's no electricity, there's no water, there's no law enforcement in that area. You got to stand up, and you can do this constitutionally, right? And so, but the word got out by the one radio station that was up at that time, and it just kind of, we didn't hear that again. We didn't hear people breaking into houses, you know?
Oh, no.
Isn't that amazing how that works?
Best behavior came out.
That's the best behavior. There's nothing like knowing and feeling the suspect, knowing that you may be armed behind that wall. That's the only thing that keeps them out.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's keeping them out, that or a bat. Anyway, so a well-regulated militia is part of the plan of our founding fathers here. And it says it's necessary to be able to the security of a free state. Our freedom comes because we have a right to keep and to bear arms. And that's why you see people marching in Washington, D.C., and they're carrying their gun on their side. They're not trying to bow up and say stuff that, you know, the enemy's trying to twist that. That's not, they're just walking around their Second Amendment right and saying, don't forget, we have the right to bear these arms. You can't take these from us.
That's right.
And it's necessary for the freedom. Hmm. It's necessary for the freedom of, we're going to maintain this freedom, that anybody that's you know, not a felon and you know, is in their right mind can be able to possess it. No matter what happens, you know, we have to be able to do that, to be able to maintain to the freedom.
It's so important that you're educating us on this, because you know there's so many Americans that I speak to that are not aware of these our rights, and in particular the right to bear arms. And you can feel as almost that you're doing something wrong. You're not supposed to. This is not right. And if you're not educated and you don't know, that's not a good place to be. You know, and it's amazing how liberating, and say, wait a minute, I do have these rights. This is not trouble. This is a good thing for me.
That's exactly it. And once you believe a lie, it doesn't matter what the truth is, because then they'll just tell you what it is. And read it again. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, infringe is defined as to commit a breach or an infraction of, to violate or trespass, to act or a result of breaking or a gap made in a wall, to be able to, and what they're trying to do right now is make a gap in the Second Amendment. They're trying to create gaps that keep guns out of people's hands.
Right.
A gap in a fortification that you may have in your household and that type of thing. And so understanding that all that stuff is a violation of the Second Amendment. When they start messing around with trying to keep you away from your, if you choose to bear arms, if you choose to have guns, for example, then if they start messing around with that, then they're messing around. They're infringing on that. They're infringing on that. And it's unconstitutional. When they say unconstitutional, what they're saying is that the Constitution says you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. And so you need to know this. If you don't know this, you'll be all, and they're making a big scene about it, because that's what I'm going to talk about, that our head attorney general, our head law enforcement officer, chosen by our president, President Barack Obama, they are against gun possession. As a matter of fact, the president said, and I don't think I have it available for you today. I wish I had it available for you. Maybe, John, you can have it, is that, you know, that the president, when he was running for office, he was talking about, you know, when people get scared in America, that in small towns, that they run to, hold on a minute, I got it right here for you. He says that they run to their guns and religion.
Mm.
Well, you know, I mean, he has a right to an opinion like that, of course. But the thing about it is, you're talking about the Second Amendment.
Right.
And if I'm running to the First and the Second Amendment, if I'm running to God and guns, that's the first two amendments. It's a good thing. It's constitutionally correct.
Right.
And lawful for you to run to God and pray.
Mm-hmm.
He said, right. when time gets bad, they run to guns and God, guns and religion. But listen to it yourself, and then we'll be right back.
But the truth is that our challenge is to get people persuaded that we can make progress when there's no evidence of that in their daily lives. And you go into some of these small towns in Pennsylvania, a lot of small towns in the Midwest. Yeah, the jobs have been gone now for 25 years and nothing's replaced them. And they've gone through the Clinton administration and the Bush administration, and each successive administration has said that somehow these communities are going to regenerate, and they have not. So it's not surprising then that they get better and they cling to guns or religion or antipathy towards people who aren't like them. Right?
So he actually compares the fact of things falling apart in people's life, that they rediscover the First and the Second Amendment. And then he goes right into, and that's why they have issues with people that are not like them. It's like, how did that get in there? The First and the Second Amendment, they were legally had the right to be able to bear arms and to worship God. Mm-hmm. And that's our president. That's when he's running for office at that particular time. And that says quite a bit. But in addition, now he has appointed Eric Holder. Eric Holder is the head law enforcement officer for the United States of America, the federal government. And it seems like he sees himself as the head law enforcement officer in every state as well. And he's the one that we're going to talk about in a moment, that he was part of Fast and Furious. And Fast and Furious is when he was selling guns. His organization, the federal law attorney general, had a whole thing set up called Fast and Furious, and they had a strategy where they're gonna sell guns to the drug lords in Mexico, coming from a law enforcement standpoint, a sting is not a negative thing. They were giving guns. We never gave guns. We never ever 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 armed the enemy. We never did that. Never did that in law enforcement because you can get killed by the suspect. You know, we actually disarmed them. Well, our head law enforcement officer gave them guns. Long story short, they come back and they kill one of our agents. with a gun that he was part of getting into their hands. And you think, well, why would that be? Why would that be? Well, listen right here. This is Eric Holder speaking about he wants to be able to get a message apart. This is on C-SPAN. He's talking, and he's talking about brainwashing, that we have to begin to get people's viewpoints to change on the way we see guns. And like you're talking about, John, people start thinking that it's kind of weird to be able to think about the Second Amendment.
Right.
And so he calls it brainwashing. And so it looks like what they were trying to do down in Mexico was to have all of our citizens on the southern borders, you know, start to be terrified of these guns and to be able to outlaw them. And you can say that because when the governor of Arizona begins to enforce the federal laws for immigration,
right,
then they sue. This attorney general sues the governor and says, we are not going to support the federal law. We are not going to back up our own laws. Now, he's actually giving guns to the drug lords.
Wow.
Through his lineage of command. He knows about it. Congress, your representative government, that's there to answer, ask questions for you. So when they say no, when he said no to Congress, he said no to you. I am not going to tell you, America, what happened here. And he refused. And now he's being held in contempt of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He's being held in contempt of Congress. But listen to what he says right here, and you can begin to understand that this is his belief. He believes, you know, first of all, the president says, you know, people run to guns and religion, which is the First and the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wanting, because if you disarm a person, if you take away their weapons, then
that's
you've
right.
got them.
Mm-hmm.
You've
right.
got the people. You've right. got them. But as long as they're armed, I mean, we surrounded people before in law enforcement. You know, we were all armed, but they were armed too. And so we didn't mess with them until we disarmed them. You know,
right.
we would wait for them. We'd take our time, be patient for them to be disarmed, because you, even though they were wrong, for example, you know, you could not do anything until they were unarmed. Well, if you're right and you're unarmed, anybody can do anything to you at that point. But listen to this. Listen to Eric Holder, our head law. You just heard our president, what he said.
Right.
Guns and God, guns and religion. Now listen to Eric Holder talk about brainwashing.
I've also asked people who have influence over youngsters, entertainers, athletes, to be involved in this program as well. But not only them, community leaders, Jesse Jackson, Mayor Barry, people who have credibility with young people should be on the television, on the radio, as much as we possibly can, and telling these youngsters that it's wrong to carry a gun, and that if you have information about people who are carrying guns, you've got to share that with Chief Thomas and with his people as well. I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Okay, you want to hear that again. You need to hear what our head law enforcement officer is talking about guns.
About guns in a vastly different way. Thinking about guns in a vastly different
way.
The week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vast week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns a week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly
Listen
different
to it.
Week and just really brainwash people into thinking
your head law
about guns
officer.
In a vastly week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly week and just really brainwash people
Are
into
we getting
thinking
it? Think
about
it.
Guns Ooh. In a vastly different
Our head law enforcement officer has a strategy to change how we think about the Second Amendment. And he says, this is how you do it with bombardment, consistent messaging and saying that, you know, saying not the exact words, but if you read now, the Second Amendment is saying that guns are bad and
right.
that the possession mm-hmm. of guns are bad and you have to brainwash them. And then we find out, now you start putting all these pieces together. Then you see our president, who chose him, say that when things go bad, that Americans run to cling to God and religion, or cling to God and religion and guns, right?
Right.
Which is the First Amendment, the Second Amendment.
Right.
And then you see Fast and Furious, connect the dots. Think about it, connect the dots. Then you see Fast and Furious, where he's selling guns. And this is the guy who's telling you we don't need guns in the schools. We need to change them. He's selling guns to the drug lords, you know, in Mexico, and they're on the edge of our southern borders. Our president's job is to protect our borders. He is the head law enforcement agent to be able to be a part of that. He stands up and tells Americans, not only am I not going to tell you about how I sold guns to the drug lords over there and they shot one of our own officers, I'm not even going to protect the borders when they come over the borders with the guns that I gave them.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
We just need to brainwash them, which is, this is where I'm getting at. And so the head law enforcement officer goes down to Trevon's situation down in Stanford, Florida, and which is a tragedy that happened. But understand, it was a tragedy during the hurricane when the man was shot. But he was breaking into the trailer.
Right.
He was breaking into the people's home, you know, and we don't even know until the evidence comes out. Everything's been trialed on the media. But understand this, that whatever happened down there, our head law enforcement agent, Eric Holder, goes down to and gets involved in local state law and goes down there and says, I am here and partnering with Reverend Sharpton to be able to, you know, it's like, where is this coming from? They're using it to brainwash and change the way we think about guns,
right?
You know, and if the church has got to quit being scared.
Right.
You gotta quit it. Knock it off. You know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and they feared not their life unto death. What if the police officers were scared? Mm, I mean, they're protecting you every day. And understand this, that they have a constitutional right to be able to do what they're doing, but we gave them the right to do it, which means we have to have as much confidence as the police officer. We gotta be just as confident over how we walk in authority that we're given unconstitutional rights. We gotta be able to, like, when we see a head law enforcement officer, the Attorney General Eric Holder, give guns to the drug lords.
Right.
One of our officers that he's responsible for dies with one of those guns, gets killed. He refuses to tell the American people all the details in it. He tells the governor of Arizona that we're not going to protect the flow of people coming in who are armed and armed with Eric's guns. Mm-hmm. And so in the context of that, you start thinking and putting these things together. It's like they're trying to change. And this is I have no evidence of this. I have no evidence of this yet. But I feel it. I feel it. Just like they tried to use Trevon's tragic situation. Just like they tried to use the drug lords over in Mexico. Just like they started to make a statement about, you know, Americans run to religion and guns. That this whole situation in Aurora, Colorado, and where does this young man get these four guns and how come he turned himself in? How come he just turned himself in? And if he booby-trapped his apartment, why did he tell him he booby-trapped the apartment? What do you have? You have this big spew of ammunition and weapons and all this kind of stuff. And now what's going to happen is they're going to use that. What is the president stops his agenda down in South Florida and he heads straight to Aurora, Colorado to be able to make a point. And you're going to be seeing, watch, you're going to be seeing come out. Part of his agenda is going to be able to change. He's not going to say change the Second Amendment, but to be able to bring gun control. Specifically what he says is that they can infringe on the Second Amendment. They begin to describe different ways to be able to encroach.
Right, not only that, but now you have the Mayor Bloomberg here in New York who's echoing this almost immediately after this horrible massacre. He's actually pressing and pushing on the president and pushing on the candidates and making this some sort of a national agenda and politicizing a tragedy. And it's absolutely horrible. And so you can't be afraid. And that's what happens, you know, here living, you know, 10 miles outside of New York City and, you know, 9/11 that occurred here. It's amazing that as soon as fear creeps into a city, fear creeps into a land, fear creeps into a people, everyone is very quick to give up their rights and for the sake of being safe. And what you've just done is made yourself unsafe.
That's exactly it. That's totally it. And so, understand, you can't give things up. We got to, time is so flying. And so now, since that's not, that they're trying, there's a whole thing being built right here that you're going to fix it to hear from Fox News. Listen to real quick. Like, they're beginning now to use the United Nations to be able to come make international sign a treaty on July 27th, which is a couple of days away. But listen up. It's right here. You're fixing about it here right now.
Well, new concerns today as the United Nations is now considering at this moment a global arms treaty that would curtail certain gun sales. Right now, the UN is working on a plan that would put a whole new set of international gun rules in place. Supporters, including the Obama administration, argue it will make the world more secure by tamping down on weapons commonly used by gangs and terrorists. But critics fear it would infringe on the Second Amendment right to bear arms right here in the United States. Larry,
so you think about this. that right now they are working, our president is working against our Second Amendment constitutional right, and he has sworn to protect it and to defend it. And he's the one that's actually working with somebody outside of our country, the United Nations,
wow,
to be able to use laws to come and handle gang. Understand, when you hear about gang situations in America, those are American citizens that we need to work with that have constitutional rights, and we don't need. And if you take away your neighbor's right, guess what? You're your neighbor's neighbor.
You're next.
Mm-hmm.
You're your neighbor's neighbor. And we start dismantling this Constitution, and that's what's happening and trying to. And what's encouraging, though, is Wayne LaPierre, with the president of the National Rifles Association, NRA, is speaking right here. And you got to hear this. He's going to speak to the United Nations and confront this issue, because that's July 27. They're talking about signing this treaty. And you cannot ratify a treaty without the majority of Senate and the Congress getting behind it. I don't know what they're even talking about. But they're, think about this. Think world. This is where our president thinks. He thinks world. He thinks,
right.
He does not think local, you know, constitution. He's when you see, you know, him, he operates. His fruit is this. I can tell you what he's thinking. But his fruit says he's thinking world. He's not thinking
right.
America. And we're talking about America. We're not, you know, we don't have a responsibility for how other parts of the world run. But we have responsibility for how America runs. And so here is Wayne LaPierre. LaPierre, that is president of the NRA, speaking to the United Nations about what's happening. Listen up.
The NRA is the largest and most active firearms rights organization in the world, with 4 million members who represent 100 million Americans who own firearms. On behalf of those 100 million American gun owners, I am here to announce NRA's strong opposition to anti-freedom policies that disregard American citizens' right to self-defense. No foreign influence has jurisdiction over the freedoms our founding fathers guaranteed to us. We will not stand idly by while international organizations, whether state-based or stateless, attempt to undermine the fundamental liberties our men and women in uniform have fought so bravely to preserve, and on which our entire American system of government is based. For 6 years, the NRA has closely monitored this effort for an arms trade treaty. We have watched with increasing concern, and 1 year ago, I delivered to the preparatory committee our objections to including civilian arms in the ATT. I said then, and I will repeat now, that the only way to address NRA's objections is to simply and completely remove civilian firearms from the scope of the treaty.
You have to understand that they're writing the United Nations, which is Woodrow Wilson's League of Nations virus that started, you know, and it's just working its way towards one world government. That's what they're wanting to do. But in that, they're wanting to be able to determine how you're going to, the United Nations is wanting to be able to say how you can actually bear a gun or not, use a gun or not. I mean, that is that not far-fetched?
That's crazy. Mm.
It's like, come on, what are you talking about? If you're not yet a member of the NRA, I encourage you, you know, join the NRA. It's a Second Amendment organization. They're constitutional. All they do is just focus on one issue. It's the Second Amendment.
Right.
And they stand up with 4 million members that represent over 100 million gun owners in America. And, you know, America's just not going to give up their guns. I mean, they're not going to do it. And with that, understanding this, and we'll find out more about the Constitution, that our own military cannot be used against our own people. They designed it in a way that the soldiers can't be, they can only go outside of our country unless, and we're going to study this in the future, our president announces martial law. And if he announces martial law, you understand, you put all this together, connect all the dots that are happening. At that point, your constitutional rights are suspended.
That's
at that
right.
very moment, you have no more constitutional rights during that time of martial law.
Mm.
And there's been times that it was used good. I mean, even George Washington used it, President Washington used it a couple times. But it also can be used for evil. And if the goal of this particular government is to disarm you, you know, definitely Mayor Bloomberg. Oh,
that's
my
right.
goodness. You know, he's talking about save money. He's got a big window unit in his van.
I love that.
Another story, another time. And then he understand they're not going to get rid of their guns. These guys have bodyguards. Our very own president, who is saying that, you know, we need to get rid of guns and that, he has men standing, good men and women standing around him called the Secret Service, and they are armed. I don't know if you know this or not. They're very armed.
Very
armed.
Everything
you can imagine to protect him. And this is good. This is what we want. We want our president protected.
Sure.
You know? And in that, you know, you have a right to be protected. You have a right to be just as protected.
As the president.
And that happens with the right to keep and to bear arms. And so what's happening here, and you got to see the whole presentation of the NRA right to the United Nations, and they're saying, no way, no how will we support this. And understand this, the second that the NRA stands up for it, that, I mean, it was like 15 Democrats swung their votes immediately over to a conservative viewpoint, you know, and it's not a Republican or a Democratic issue, but their voice is so strong that they're people who just care about our country. They put a political affiliation aside and say, listen, we don't want to lose our right to bear and to keep arms. You know, and I'm coming from this, and we're coming to an end of the extra hour, is this, that I was in law enforcement for quite a few years, and I always discovered this, that the bad guy always had guns. They always got guns. Mm-hmm. And there was laws that says bad guys can't have guns. There was laws that said felons can't possess guns, but they got guns.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about it is I had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could use my gun if he didn't drop his gun. But if I didn't have a gun, I'm just going to be a victim. And to finally say this as we're closing, if in fact telling people, you know, drop that gun, you know, or drop that weapon works when you're not armed, tell me why are we concerned about Iran and their nuclear power? And if we were not armed as a nation, and he is disarming us, we are being dismantled. But I truly believe it's a set man by God to humble us. But if we humble ourselves, then God will keep us from falling all the way.
Right.
But that what can we do? What can we do? How can we defend ourselves? And that's what the enemy's wanting to do. The enemy wants to disarm you. You legally, according to the Second Amendment, have a right to keep and to bear arms and to form a militia, an organized army to be able to defend your community, whatever's going on. The sheriffs can deputize you. But if they disarm you, do you really think Iran is going to stop with the nuclear weapons? Do you think if Israel was disarmed that they could not be able to say, listen, don't do that? Listen, Israel's very armed, and we help them get armed. America helped them get armed.
That's right.
Don't give up your weapons. The Second Amendment is very plain. It's very clear. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, that's it. God bless. I really enjoyed the extra hour. See you guys later. Look, don't forget the torch. The VFN torch is now available to you. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN torch and find out more about what we're talking about, including that of the Second Amendment, right, and R.A. Dickey. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow. And don't forget about the 24-hour loop all day long.